Hi, my name is Angela Marquez Felipe. I am a researcher at McGill University and visiting scholar at the University of Edinburgh, as well as member of the BBCR network. I am delighted today to be providing further reflections on the presentation given by Rebecca Lacey as part of a group discussion on adversity and resilience, which took place in February 2021. Her presentation provided an opportunity for us to consider the methodological and empirical implications of measuring adversity in the context of birth cohorts. We heard how adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, have long been known to be associated with poor physical and mental health outcomes across the life course. One way of counting these adversities is to sum them up into an ACE score. While this score has the advantage of providing an easy way of measuring adverse experiences at a group level, it implies that they are equally commensurable variables and does not enable an in-depth study of patterns and associated mechanisms. Alternative and more person-centered approaches have emerged that include the study of single adversities and other methods such as latent class analysis. These methods focus on the prevalence and impact of different ACE combinations and have the potential to inform more targeted interventions. However, these approaches are less common in adversity research, and they often focus on specific datasets and contexts, such as child maltreatment. So the aim of the paper by Rebecca Lacey and colleagues was to explore how ACEs are clustered in the 1958 British Birth Cohort, NCDS, and what associations these clusters might have with inflammation by midlife at age 44. This age represents a point of biomedical data collection in the cohort that included the study of markers of inflammation, like CRP, and other covariates at birth, including gender, class, maternal age, and education. By using this method, the team was able to identify three classes in the prospective cohort data. The first included the vast majority of cohort participants who reported low adversities, and two other considerably smaller groups that were clustered around reports of household dysfunction and family conflict, and of parental separation and loss. In the retrospective dataset, the analysis revealed a clearer pattern of associations between clusters of ACEs and inflammation markers. The groups affected by maltreatment and conflict and by polyadversity, that is, multiple adversities, had significantly higher levels of inflammation, particularly among those who experienced or witnessed abuse. The conclusion that the authors drew from this study is that latent class analysis offers an interesting approach to adversity research, although it provides similar insights to those of existing studies on single adversities. Equally, if these methods might generate more granular data, their predictive value remains unknown. Beyond this, the presentation raised an interesting set of questions about how adversity measurements and ACEs scores matter for what counts and is reported as an adverse experience. One might ask, for instance, which methods could be developed to capture dimensions such as the severity, intensity, or latency of adverse experiences. How could these methods further highlight the correlations between multiple adversities and other mechanisms and processes that include, but are not limited to, inflammation? And how could we then study the cumulative interplay between these processes and ongoing exposures, for example, to precarity, slow violence, and microaggressions? These are questions of scientific, social, and ethical significance, and they pose, in my view, a challenge for biosocial and birth cohort research, that of mapping singular adverse experiences and how these are variably embedded over the life course, while also tending to ecologies of adversity, vulnerability, and resistance, seen as both situated and biosocially mediated processes. By addressing this double challenge, biosocial and cohort research might generate new and perhaps unexpected insights into how living environments and experiences might shape our health and mental health futures.